So our reading for today is Psalm 126, and we're going to read the whole psalm, starting from verse 1. A song of ascents. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them.
What a joy to see you all, and some familiar faces, many unfamiliar. It's great to be with you and to see how the church has grown in number and as well as in faith and love from the updates that we've had from the Suttons. And what a treat to see Chloe at the back as well, sleeping peacefully at this stage. So we'll see how we get on, shall we? Well, I don't know if you've been doing any travelling over Christmas, New Year. Maybe you've been stuck at home. I don't know. You've seen relatives. Well, when our car was condemned, the mechanics failed its MOT, we had to get another slightly newer car, and it had Bluetooth. So for our family trips now, it's very exciting because it's a case of which child gets the Bluetooth first of all and then gets their playlist played for this long journey that we've had. We've had a few long journeys in the past few weeks. Well, what we find in this book of Psalms is a little section, some songs of ascents, and they're basically a playlist for the people of God on a particular journey. Ascents was kind of going up to Jerusalem, and several times a year they'd be going up to Jerusalem for their festivals, as prescribed in the Old Testament. And what we find in Psalms 120, all the way as we look at the headings of them, all the way to Psalm 134, is the playlist for the people of God on a journey. And I wonder if somebody might put this to music so I can put this on when Dad gets charge of the Bluetooth on our journeys as well. It'd be much more edifying than some of the things that get played and then deleted. Well, Psalm 126 is a wonderful psalm for us to think about as we start a new year together, because it offers us timely encouragement and a renewed focus in what we're about as a church. It's quite common, isn't it, for us as Christians to get a bit low about the state of the world and of God's church, especially in Europe at least. Nigeria is a bit different, and Kenya and places like that. And before we know it, our prayer life has kind of dried up a bit because you think, well, you know, what's the point in praying and God doesn't do anything anyway and so on. So as we start this new year, I hope this will be a refuel and a reboot as we are inspired by this Psalm 126. So this psalm goes in three directions. Verses 1 to 3, we look back. Verse 4, we look up. And then verses 5 and 6, we look forward. And I'd like to summarize each section with a little phrase, if it's helpful. So vivid remembrance, verses 1 to 3. Expectant prayer, verse 4. And then faithful sowing, verses 5 and 6. So first, vivid remembrance, verses 1 and 2. And imagine them singing this on their kind of playlist as collectively they walked up to Jerusalem. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, that's the people of God, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. So the psalm begins by looking back to when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, the people of God. And this moment was such a high point that there was laughter, joyful singing. And it was like a dream as they kind of went back to think about it on their journey up to Jerusalem. Vivid remembrance. Now, it doesn't specify what time they were thinking about in this psalm. Some say it's that great return from exile. Remember, people are the people of God, the Lord disciplined them by sending them to Babylon in exile. And when they came back, well, that was good news in some ways. But it doesn't quite capture what we see in verse 2, filled with laughter, tongues with songs of joy. Because if we go back to the history in the Old Testament, Ezra 3:13 says, no one could distinguish the sounds of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping. As they came back from exile, they thought, well, this is nothing like what we once had. Perhaps some other time was in mind as they had this on their playlist. Maybe it was deliverance from a particular famine or siege or captivity or plague. It was certainly something big. And it's not just something big for the people of God, but something known among the nations as well. Well, maybe it's not specified here to keep it general, to keep the people of God encouraged in every generation, including ours. Well, as the psalmist reflects on that, the psalmist says in verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. There's that connection with past generations and saying the Lord has done it for us as the people of God, and we're filled with joy. That vivid remembrance revives the believer's confidence in God. He has done great things for us, hasn't he? Now, there are many times past recorded in the scriptures which are our shared heritage as the people of God. Solomon, that high point, the great time of prosperity and peace for the people of God. Jesus' miracles. Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit when thousands were converted in one go. Well, it's important for us to have that vivid remembrance of what God has done in the past. If you think about the start of the book of Judges, it's not a great book. And not, you know, the people of God aren't up to great things in that book. But what we see in the second chapter of Judges is just a little narrator's comment saying, well, a generation grew up after Joshua. He didn't know the Lord or the wonders that he had done. They had no memory of the wonders that the Lord had done, and that left them helpless to know what to do in the face of big problems in the book of Judges. Well, what about our vivid remembrance of times past? Certainly we have the whole scriptures to give us that expectant joy that follows from vivid remembrance. But we also have our own history, don't we? Perhaps we can look back to that time when we ourselves became Christians. Perhaps we can remember a particular youth group or convention or mission. And we have something of the emotions of verse 2. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. They were great days, weren't they? Do you remember when? How important it is for us to keep that remembrance alive, to keep it vivid in our minds and our hearts. And if we haven't been a Christian for a long time, to make sure that we keep asking people who've been Christians for longer to tell us some stories of what God has been doing in your life and in days of old. We need that. I was reading the newspaper Evangelicals Now this afternoon, and Heath Church in Cardiff have done some interviews with various ministers and missionaries that you can go on YouTube to find out. Just some encouraging stories about what God has done in the past in the lives of these people. There are Christian biographies as well that you can read. I think, well, if the Lord can do it for them, he can do it for us. And our hearts are lifted by that vivid remembrance. Well, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is a great tonic for our souls, isn't it? And it has a fortifying effect because we're remembering the Lord and the great wonders he has done, just as the people are doing in this psalm. Martin Luther, commenting on Psalm 4, verse 1, wrote, "It's the function of music to arouse the sad, sluggish, and dull spirit. Thus Elisha summoned a minstrel so that he might be stirred up to prophesy. David here composed this psalm, that is, as something inciting, stirring, and inflaming, so he might have something to arouse him to stir up the devotion and inclination of the heart in order that he might do this more sharply. He also did it with musical instruments." So do we give ourselves the opportunity to have a playlist in the car while we're changing a nappy or doing a night feed or doing a shift at work, and just having some great songs to keep our remembrance vivid of the Lord and the great things he has done? We need that desperately as the people of God in this country today. Because when it's really in our minds, as we see in Psalm 126, verse 2, we find that our whole state is changed. The emotions, laughter, and joy, we remember things as if we were there ourselves at that present moment. And the Lord unshrinks our minds and our hearts to see more of his greatness. So the first point, vivid remembrance. Secondly, expectant prayer. And this is the logical next step from vivid remembrance, is it not? Verse 4, restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. If the Lord had restored their fortunes before, there is great confidence that he will do it again. That same Lord who did those great things in the past in Scripture, in the past perhaps in our own life, in our history as the people of God, that gives us confidence to come and look up in prayer and say, restore our fortunes, Lord. And when it says like streams in the Negev, Negev means dry or parched, and it was in the southernmost part of Judah, and in these regions apparently rain can turn desert into a place of grass and flowers overnight. Sudden, dramatic change, overnight. Well, our Father in heaven is able to do such things. He's done it in the past. And as we look back with such vivid remembrance, we're brought to look up and ask him to do things which are just impossible in our eyes. And is that not what the Apostle Paul is encouraging us to think in Ephesians 3? Now, to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So we're only limited by our own thoughts. We're limited by our own prayers. But the Lord is able to do much more than those things. Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Expectant prayer comes from vivid remembrance. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the Welsh preacher, once said the greatest sin of the evangelical church was putting God in a box and saying what he can't do. Perhaps we're at a stage of life where we feel there's not much we can do anymore. But if we can still pray, we can do the most important thing there is to do. Remember the Protestant reformer John Knox? Well, Catholic Mary, Queen of Scots, is said to have said, "I fear John Knox's prayers more than all the assembled armies of Europe." And John Knox was one of the Reformation's greatest prayer warriors, famous for crying out to God and praying, "Give me Scotland or I die." That's expectant prayer, isn't it? I've never prayed that one before. Give me England or I die. Give me Folkestone or I die. Expectant prayer. But quite often we just kind of shrink it down, hedge our bets and say, well, give me something that might happen anyway. Well, it's good that our Father in heaven delights to hear us when we pray asking for anything. But this is expectant prayer. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. So how big is your prayer life? Perhaps you feel things are just a bit small. You're involved in a church plant, and we've been there and got the T-shirt in Canterbury as well. We were smaller than this when we started. It's hard work. But what we need to do is just to lift our eyes above the size of the army, so to speak, to see the greatness of the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, and to be praying in 2022 expectant prayers, big prayers. I remember somebody saying that they'd been praying for the fall of communism. This was a few decades ago. And then the Berlin Wall came down. And communism in Eastern Europe collapsed. Well, I didn't dare pray anything like that. But this person did, and they saw an answer to that prayer. Maybe we should pray for the fall of Islam. It was once just in school textbooks as Mohammedanism, the views of one man Mohammed, is now the great world religion in the eyes of many. We pray for the fall of Islam, perhaps the collapse of transgender ideology, which is beginning to oppress the people of God, especially at the younger end in schools. Vivid remembrance, expectant prayer, and that leads on to persistent sowing, verses 5 and 6. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Well, it's vital to pray, but also to act. And if streams in the Negev is speaking about something sudden, dramatic, and miraculous, then here is something that can appear painfully slow and difficult. I love walking around allotments at harvest time. Some plots are incredibly fruitful, aren't they? Runner beans are plenty, carrots, spinach, kale, you name it. Other plots are barren. There's nothing for the fridge or freezer there. Well, why are they so different? Well, some carried seed to their allotment and are now enjoying a harvest. Perhaps even from the freezer, the runner beans are coming out. But for others, for one reason or another, they didn't sow seed, and there's nothing to show for it. Well, the portrait of Christian ministry here is verse 4. Having been with God, verse 4, we go out from God full of expectation. And sowing seed is the way that God has designed his kingdom to grow. So there's Jesus, isn't there, in Mark chapter 4, saying this is how the kingdom of God grows. It's like a farmer sowing seed, and it seems like it's all so slow, and seed is wasted. But that's God's way. The scattering and broadcasting of seed is God's way for his kingdom to come. But if you've ever been involved in sowing seed or seeking to share the gospel with people or give them books, it can be slow. We might say, well, I tried sowing seed, but it didn't do anything. We leafleted the area and no one came. I gave a Christian book to a friend and they never talked about it again. And the tears can flow, can't they? I've tried, but I haven't got anywhere. Well, what we need to do is learn from verses 5 and 6 and to fight back the tears and to carry on sowing. It's easy for our emotional state to get the better of us and think, I give up. Perhaps we're parents and we, over many years or in recent months, we've just really struggled. We open the Bible with our children and nothing seems to go in. So do you think, well, let's just leave it for now because it's not going in? Well, how can you guarantee that your children will know nothing about the Lord? By not reading the Bible with them or talking about him with them. We need to keep sowing seed and even fighting back the tears because we know that this is God's means towards people becoming Christians. The danger is to stop sowing. Now, I understand David Longley will be listening to a recording of this, God willing, in his own time. And David is from a family of many brothers. And one of his brothers, who is now with the Lord, ran a bookshop in Algiers, in Algeria. And David will no doubt give me the more detailed facts by email afterwards. I think he was from a family of five brothers. David, do send in the email to correct me. and I think it was in Algiers that he ran this bookshop. And if I remember it rightly, there was no fruit from this literature evangelism in this Muslim country. So he was there for decades and decades and just passing out Bibles and Christian literature and saw no fruit from it. Wow. There's somebody who has sown the seed of the Word of God so faithfully. And we don't know where it's going to go, do we? Evangelist Roger Carswell was at a church mission a few years ago when he was asked to interview someone for their testimony. It was a bit strange that he didn't get to meet this person beforehand, but as the live interview went on before an audience, he discovered it was someone who worked in a company where his job was to open the post. And one time, this person got a prepaid envelope back, and in it was a gospel tract. A month later, the same happened. This happened several times with a different gospel tract in each of these prepaid envelopes that had been returned. Through getting these gospel tracts in prepaid envelopes being returned, this man became a Christian. And he was on the stage with Roger Carswell, the man who'd put these tracts in the prepaid envelopes, and somehow they managed to match them up. Apparently, Roger Carswell also does it with the phone, with these phone calls that may irritate us. He says, well, okay, great, I'll listen to you if you listen to me for a few minutes afterwards. So, yep, sure. So they listen to this product being sold, and then afterwards, Roger just explains the gospel to them. And what a different thing it is for them, having to do all these sales calls day in, day out. Well, whatever is your way of sowing seed, I mean, for us at Emmanuel Church in Canterbury, in lockdown, we've one of our innovations is to get back to literature evangelism. So rather than trying to invite people to services and no one comes, we put the gospel in a booklet, a community newsletter, and post it through people's letterboxes. So we've done it three times now. The first time we did 18,000. That was hard work. And then we reduced it down to 12,000, second time, slightly easier. But the last run of 8,000 was hard work still with all the kind of lockdowns and complications. But a couple of encouragements that we had was, one was our neighbour. One of our neighbours just knocked on the door before Christmas saying, well, I read your newsletter. I noticed you've got a bit of a community going on there because we put some community things in there about what we do as a church. She said, my daughter's not well. She's in a mental hospital. She's in a really difficult way. I want to know more about this good news that you put in the front of your newsletter. So my wife, Corinne, is going to be doing Hope Explored with her, God willing, in the new year. And then this morning at church, we had somebody who came to church over Christmas, hadn't been at church for a long time, and he came because we'd been out carol singing and handing out these newsletters. But obviously somebody who'd been carol singing went to one of the takeaways on the high street in Canterbury, left a newsletter on one of the tables. He was working in this place, saw the newsletter, read it, and decided to come to church. But that's thousands and thousands of these newsletters going out to different homes. And such little fruit, but there is some, isn't there? What we need to do is fight back the tears in 2022. We don't know how people will respond to the sowing of the seed of the Word of God, but we know that whether it's in this generation or in a subsequent generation, there will only be fruit if there is the sowing of seed. So will we be committed in 2022 in many and different ways? It might be through newsletter or giving a family member a book to read or seeking a conversation at work, whatever else it is, seek to faithfully sow the seed of the Word of God so that whether it's on our watch in our generation or a subsequent generation who heard it might become Christians. Because it's only as we sow seed, even with tears, will we or others reap with songs of joy. So we see, looking back, vivid remembrance. We need to start there, don't we? And perhaps we need to have some conversations, even this afternoon, over coffee and or just in whenever we next meet as a church, just to remember those times when the Lord did great things for us, whatever situation we were in the past. Remember some stories of old, going back to the scriptures and the big story about what God has done for his people, just to lift our hearts to more expectant prayer and to keep us going in that faithful, persistent sowing that we need to not give up at, even when it's so hard, when so many people reject the message. I remember being, when I was living on the Isle of Sheppey where I grew up, I was at school in Sheerness and the Gideons came to hand out Bibles, and they, all the kids that I was at school with were just chucking these Bibles in the bushes on the way home. I was outraged by that because I loved books. So I kept mine and read it and became a Christian. I've never been able to make contact with the people who were at the assembly that day in Sheerness, and they probably went home thinking, oh, I don't want to go to the island again. What a waste of time that was. But in heaven, I'll be able a chance to thank them. Let's keep sowing seed. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful playlist, the Songs of Ascents. Thank you for the rich encouragement they give us. And we pray that you give us a more vivid remembrance of the great things you have done for your people in the past. We thank you for your scriptures with so many tales of grace, so many stories of your greatness. We thank you for Christian history. We thank you for our own story. And we pray that you'd help us as your people, as brothers and sisters, to lift us up in vivid remembrance, remembering that you have done great things for us and you can do it again. We pray that our prayer life in 2022 would be a prayer life of expectant prayer. And we pray that you give us persistence in sowing the seed of your word. We long that you would give us Folkestone. We pray that you would cause the seed of your word to go into every home in this town. Lord, it's hard to see how that could be done. But we thank you that nothing is impossible with you. In Jesus' name, amen.